following message was given by Shelby Murphy on Friday, March 29th at Redemption Hill Church. For more information about the church, visit us online at www.redemptionhill.org.
My name is Shelby and I'm one of the pastors here, and it's my privilege to be able to open God's Word with us this momentous evening. If you have your Bibles, turn with me over to Mark chapter 10. It's on page 847 of those pew Bibles you have in front of you. We're going to be in verses 42 through 45. The symbol, the very heart of our faith, is a cross. I don't know if you've ever stopped to think about just how strange that is. Now, every large movement has a symbol to it. America has the eagle. England is a rose. We're probably more familiar with some of the corporate symbols that inundate our daily lives. McDonald's has the golden arches. Nike has the swoosh. And this even applies to other religions as well. Jews have the Star of David. Muslims have the crescent moon. And yet we have what is still regarded as the most brutal form of execution, the cross. The cross that was designed to cause as much pain as possible over as much time as possible. It was so horrific that in Roman society, you weren't even supposed to mention it. It was there, but you never talked about it. And so what we have in our church buildings, what some of us wear as jewelry around our necks, maybe some of us have tattooed on our bodies, is the equivalent of an electric chair or a hangman's noose. We have as the symbol of our faith a reminder of the execution of our founder. The cross has always been the symbol of the Christian faith. It could have been the crib in which Jesus was born. It could have been the carpenter's bench at which he worked for most of his life. It could have been the dove that descended on him in his baptism. It could have been the stone that was rolled away for his resurrection. It could have been the throne on which he now sits, but it has always been the cross that is at the heart of our faith. And I want to look at some verses tonight from Mark's gospel that show us why. So let me read from Mark chapter 10 here, starting in verse 42. And Jesus called them to him and said to them, "You know that those who are considered rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. But it shall not be so among you. But whoever would be great among you must be your servant. And whoever would be first among you must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." This is God's word tonight. And I want to zero in on that last verse for us. A verse that many of us should be familiar with. "For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." I believe this verse takes us to the heart of what Good Friday is all about. It takes us to the heart of what our Christian faith is all about. And I just want to make two points about this text tonight. First, it tells us who God is. Second, it tells us who we are. So what does this verse tell us about God? Notice how Jesus describes himself here. He describes himself as the Son of Man. Now, this may not mean a huge amount to us, but this would have meant a huge amount to the people who heard him say this. This term, Son of Man, is actually a pretty common term in the Bible, and it simply just means man. It's meant to emphasize the humanity of a person. We find it most in Ezekiel, where the prophet is addressed by God as Son of Man numerous times throughout that book. God does this to contrast Ezekiel's very human condition with his transcendent majesty. So Ezekiel can't help but realize his own human frailty and limitations in the face of God's unsurpassable glory. God is God, and Ezekiel is but a son of man. However, notice the definite article in front of son of man here in Mark. The son of man. Yes, Jesus is referring to himself as a son of man, highlighting his humanity. But the difference here is that he is the son of man. He is the epitome of humanity. The sinless one is humanity perfected. He's all that God intended for mankind to be. He is the Son of God. He's all that God is, and the Son of Man, all that mankind should be. He is deserving of both titles, and he alone is able to reconcile God and man. The Son of Man is the one who would be given God's authority to run the universe, and the one through whom all of God's purposes and plans would be fulfilled. The one who would actually be reverenced and worshiped. And all this is what Jesus is claiming in that title, Son of Man. It's a massive claim. Jesus never claimed to be just a good moral teacher. He never claimed just to be a spiritual guide. No, he claimed to be the Son of Man, the one who carries the very authority of God himself. And it's not a claim we can ignore. Jesus is claiming here to be the most powerful human being in the history of the world. And yet he says, as the Son of Man, he's come to serve. This should surprise us if we stop to think about it. Because just think about your world. Think about the world we live in. Someone's power and authority is generally measured by how many people they have serving them. How many people they employ. How many people whose lives revolve around this. Who revolve around them. Working for various large performing arts organizations over the years, I got to hobnob with some extremely rich donors. And I recall one instance where our staff was invited over for a dinner with who was essentially an extremely wealthy oil baroness. I had never been around that amount of wealth before. And I remember pulling up to this castle on top of a mountain in my humble Outlander that's parked out here, where the full-time valet took my car. I was then escorted in by some sort of butler, and if you know me, you know I'm always early to stuff. So as I was coming in, the rest of the house staff was still setting up, and I got to see the clear floor retracting over the heated indoor pool that was in the dining room area where we were going to eat. And the staff moving the table over it and starting to set the table. So we got to eat on a clear floor over a pool. And it was just like in the movies where you have staff all around the room as you eat, seeing to every detail of your meal, taking every plate away, every piece of utensil. When someone is powerful, they have lots and lots of people at their beck and call. Lots and lots of people who serve them. But Jesus' claim here is that he is the one with ultimate power and authority. Infinitely more than that oil baroness. And yet, what does he say? That he's come not to be served, but to serve. This is what he's like. He desires to serve others. This is what Jesus is like. Therefore, this is what God is like. Jesus is revealing to us here what God is like. Now, we might think that if God were to come to this world and speak to us, his message might be, try harder, do better, be more religious, be more ethical, be more moral, be more charitable, be more spiritual. Maybe we assume God's message to us is, here's how you can do a better job of serving me. And yet the God we see on display here in the person of Jesus is a God who comes to talk about how he can serve us. That's what God is like. A God to whom we matter. A God who doesn't see you in a way you might imagine. He doesn't see us according to our behavior. He doesn't see us according to our bank balance or our looks or popularity. He doesn't see us according to our marital status. He sees us as people worth serving. And this is what Good Friday tells us. Our God has come into this world to serve. Now, we might be tempted to think that if God has really come to serve us, then I've got a list of things that he can probably help me with. I've got some ways you can serve me, God. My finances aren't great. You could help me with that some, or I'd like to be in some sort of meaningful a relationship here soon, or someone close to me is sick and I would like them to get better, or there's a messy situation in my family. If you could just sort that all out, God, that would be great. Well, if the first surprise of Good Friday is that Jesus came to serve, maybe the second surprise is how he came to serve. We are shown who God is. Now we are shown who we are. Even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. I recently read that 60 million people die every year. It works out to about 2 every second. So just in our time together tonight, about 54 people had died around the world. People whose death largely means nothing to us. It doesn't affect us. Yet Jesus is claiming here that his death is going to be like no other. His death is going to serve us. Even 2,000 years later, his death is going to be a benefit to us even now. And not a death that is merely a gesture or a statement. He says his death serves us because his death is a ransom. Jesus is saying the greatest way he can serve us is to give his life for us, because he'll be giving his life to us as a ransom. Now, this is something I'm sure many of us are familiar with. We've seen all of those Liam Neeson movies. If someone is taken captive, the kidnappers may demand a ransom to release that person, demand a payment. It's a staple in movies, and unfortunately, it's all too sad a reality in real life as well. But think about what Jesus is implying here. If his death is a ransom, Jesus is saying, you and I are not free. We are, however much you might feel otherwise, Jesus is saying by nature, we are not free. We're captives. We've been taken captive and we need ransoming. And maybe deep down, you feel some of this. Things in our lives that we simply don't have control over. Yes, we might choose when to wake up. We might choose where to go each day. We chose to come here tonight. But if you think about it, there's so much in our lives we simply have no control over. When that doctor hits just that right spot on your knee, what happens? Do you have any control over that? So how we react to things sometimes feels out of our control. Some of those habits and tendencies in our lives we know are bad, but feel incapable of doing anything about. Those things we want to change about ourselves, but can't seem to. We're never quite the version of ourselves we sense we should be, the version of ourselves that we would want to be. Every time we try and turn over a new page in our lives, we're right back on the same page. It's like Groundhog Day. But Jesus said once that anyone who sins is a slave to sin. All of us, in 1,000 different ways, have given ourselves to a way of being and a way of living that we can't undo. And we're not truly free. God made us to know Him, to have a relationship with Him, to love Him, to enjoy Him, to delight in Him. That's what we were made for. And that's what Jesus shows us is true freedom, real freedom. This is what we see in Jesus. And this is what all of us have forsaken. And it's what Jesus has come to restore to us through His death. His death is a ransom, because in His death, Jesus takes on Himself the penalty, the payment of our sins. He bears in His own body the consequences of all of our sin. The death Jesus died is the death we deserved to die. He died that death, and in His resurrection, He defeated it for us. So we can truly leave this building tonight free. We can be unshackled from all the ways of being us that we just can't seem to get away from. The cross, then, is an invitation for us to come to Him tonight in repentance. Some of you might be tempted to think that this sounds great, but there's this particular sin of mine and it's just too big. Or I've fallen into it so many times, there's no way that God can forgive me for that sin. Let me just remind you, there is nothing lacking in the ransom that Jesus has for us, because there is nothing more precious than the life He has laid down for us. No sin is too much for this Savior. You're not that special. And no sin is that special. The Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give His life as a ransom for many. Jesus wants to serve us tonight. We're not here to do something for Jesus. We're here to let Jesus serve us on the cross. His activity in this world is not sustained by our energy, but His. What sins do you need to bring before God tonight? He wants to serve you tonight by bearing your burden of sin, by serving and sustaining you amidst trials, whatever trials and suffering are going on in your life right now. And it sounds weird, but do you still delight in the cross? Do you delight in the ransom God has provided for you in Jesus' sacrifice? Or have you just grown numb to it? What burdens and cares do you need to take to Him tonight? Because Christ wants to meet us tonight as our servant, to carry our burdens and to give us His strength and power and joy as we endure and persevere in this life as His disciples. Do you need to confess tonight where you've leaned into your own strength and power to make it through each day? Jesus wants to serve us tonight with His death, which is a ransom for many, to save us from our sin and to serve us as we strive for obedience in this Christian life. Jesus is your servant in that. He's my servant. So His cross isn't just a symbol of our faith anymore, but it becomes the heart of our faith. Do we delight in His ransom for us? His service to us, His ransom for us should be the greatest delight of our hearts. His sacrifice should serve us tonight by shaping our lives. Let me pray for us. Father, thank you for Jesus' death. The Son of Man who came with full power and used that power to serve. It's unfathomable to me that the ruler of the universe would put me before himself. Even yielding his life for me on a cross. Thank you that his death was a ransom for me. It has provided me freedom from my captivity to sin. Holy Spirit, help us to leave this building tonight with full assurance of faith, not assured in ourselves and how we are doing, but assured in Jesus and what he's done for us on the cross. And I ask all this in his precious name. Amen.
You've been listening to a message by Shelby Murphy, given at Redemption Hill Church in Richmond, Virginia. For more information on the church and to hear other messages, please visit us online at www.redemptionhill.org.